Well, there you go. Happy Mother's Day. That's about right, isn't it, moms? That's about right. You know, the movies always show these perfect, serene families with everything going great, and that's pretty much a typical mom's day right there. You know, phone companies, well, this was back before the days of when everybody had a cell phone. This is back when we actually used pay phones and regular phones. Well, AT&T actually reported back in the 90s that there were more phone calls made on Mother's Day than on any other day of the year. Did you know that? That's true. More phone calls on Mother's Day than on any other day of the year. But they also reported that more collect calls are made on Father's Day than any day of the year. That's true. That's from AT&T. More collect calls are made on Father's Day than any day of the year. So I think that kind of sets the tone of, you know, the difference between moms and dads, and we want to take some time and talk about moms today and honor them. You know, I was looking at some videos this week and saw one that had a bunch of moms' famous sayings. Now, if you're a mom, you've said at least one of these to your kids. If you're not a mom, your mom probably said at least one of these to you when you were growing up. I'm not sure how this works exactly, but this is a universal principle. These sayings are worldwide. I don't know if moms get together once a month and have a meeting and talk about what sayings they're going to say to their kids, but you've probably heard some of these. Kid's outside doing something crazy and dangerous, and his mom says, "If you break both legs, don't come running to me." How about this one? "If you're going to kill each other, do it outside. I just cleaned the house." You ever heard that one? "You're grounded for life." Maybe some of you heard that this week. Hopefully not. Here's one. Your mother taught you about religion earlier than you thought when she said, "You better pray that comes out of the carpet." I have heard that one, literally. "Eat your dinner. There are starving kids in the world." I actually remember the dinner where my dad said that to me, and I said, "Name one." It was not a good evening, I can promise you. I still remember that. There was this look of horror and unbelief on his face. It's like, "Did you just say that to me?" "As long as you're living under my roof, you'll do as I say." We've all heard that one. And we got an amen. And here's one everybody knows. "If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times." Well, mothers, you know, here's the thing. You'll speak many words to your children over the course of their lifetime. But I want to take a few minutes this morning and focus on one thought, and that is that the greatest words you will ever speak to your children are when you tell them that Jesus loves them. There's no greater investment that you can make into the life of your child, moms, than to invest in them a godly heritage that will last all the days of their life. The amazing thing is that the influence that a mother has on her children is enormous, and it lasts an entire lifetime. It lasts a lifetime. I mean, you've seen this. There can be two grown men, the toughest, roughest, meanest, most wicked men you could ever imagine, in an argument. And they can be cursing at each other and insulting each other, and those men can take anything that the other guy throws out. They can swear at him, they can call him every name under the sun, and the other guy is fine with that until he insults his mother. You ever notice that? It's bizarre. You can talk about his father, you can talk about his family, you can talk about whatever you want, but don't insult his mother. Because even the toughest man turns into an animal when someone insults his mother, even 30, 40 years later. There are men this very day who are behind bars, who are tough, rough, mean men, but on this day, they will take the time to reflect on their mother, many of them with tears in their eyes. You ever seen on game shows, Millionaire or Deal or No Deal or whatever, when someone wins a huge amount of money, or when a young college kid gets drafted to the pros and gets an enormous contract, and they say, what are you going to do with all this money? You know, it's amazing to me how many grown men will answer that question by saying, I'm going to buy my mama a house. You've seen that many times. I'm going to buy my mama that house she always wanted. What is that all about? Decades beyond when their mother was living with them and raised them, there's still this incredible bond that a grown man or grown woman has with his mom. I want to tell you, Mom, it is impossible to really calculate the lifelong influence that you have on your children. I heard a man one time say that when he was a young kid, he had a drug problem. And that was just really a bizarre thing to hear. You had a drug problem when you were a kid? He said, yeah, every Sunday morning, my mama drugged me to Sunday school. And then when that was over, she drugged me to church. And every Wednesday night, she drugged me to prayer meeting. But you see, it had had an influence on him. His mother's influence was living with him well into his later years in life. As a mother, you have a unique, God-given bond and connection with your family that, sorry dads, we don't have. Now, the father's influence on the family is critical and something that is being sort of swept aside quite often in our culture today. But the moms have a unique bond to the family. In fact, the biblical word that is translated mother is the Hebrew word ame, A-M-E, it's pronounced ame, and it literally means the bond of the family. How about that? The Bible, by the way, places great emphasis on the meaning of words. And the word in the Bible that is translated into our English word mother is the word ame. And it means the bond of the family. A mother's spiritual and emotional influence on her children is absolutely profound, even when we become adults. As a matter of fact, if you study history, you will find again and again and again throughout history, men and women who attribute everything that they are, everything that they've become, to their mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my mother. I remember my mother's prayers. They have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life." Thomas Edison said, "My mother cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life. The good effects of her early training I can never lose. If it had not been for her faith in me at a critical time in my experience, I should never have become an inventor. Her firmness, her sweetness, and her goodness were potent powers to keep me on the right path. My mother was the making of me." Thomas Edison. Columnist Cal Thomas said, "My mother expressed the love that shaped my life." You know, everybody tends to quote and preach from Proverbs 31 on Mother's Day. I deliberately didn't do that today because I always hear from women about how bad it makes them feel. They just see that incredible list of all of those qualities of a woman that they feel like they could never measure up to. But you know, it's interesting, as I was thinking about Mother's Day, that you hear preachers preach from Proverbs 31, but I have never in all my life heard a preacher take any time at all to talk about the first verse of Proverbs 31. It's very interesting. The first verse of Proverbs 31 says, "The sayings of King Lemuel, the teachings his mother taught him. King Lemuel didn't come up with all that stuff. He was a grown man, mighty and powerful, king of the land, and there he was one day sitting down and thinking to himself, wow, I remember that stuff my mother taught me when I was young. I'm going to start jotting some of it down. And he began to write, the Bible says, the teachings that his mother taught him, or the oracle, the sayings that his mother taught him. And they were still with him well into his adult years in life. And he wrote them down, and that's what we have as Proverbs chapter 31. I want to tell you, I still remember many of the things that my mother taught me when I was a kid. I still remember the life lessons that she passed on to me. I still remember seeing my mother on her knees praying for her children. I can still see in my mind that old house we lived in South Africa, walking down that hallway with that old wooden floor. And I would pass my parents' bedroom on the left, and mine was about 10 feet up on the right. There were many late nights that I remember when the house was quiet, and I would be walking down that hall to my bedroom, and I would catch a glimpse through the door of my parents' bedroom, and my mom was on her knees praying. And I heard many of her prayers, because my mother, when she prays by herself, for whatever reason, she always prays not in a full-spoken voice, but about half volume. She just has always done that. And there were many times when I would be in that house at night, and I would, even laying in bed just across the hall, and I could make out her words as she was praying. God be with Philip. Make him a godly man. Keep your spirit upon him. Use his life. Help him to make the right choices. Wow. Hey, as a kid, as a young boy, as a teenager, that meant nothing to me. Nothing. And yet I can tell you this, that as I became older and I left home, and I got involved in all the pursuits of life, there's been more than one occasion where I have been faced with a choice of right and wrong. Nobody was around, but a picture of my mother on her knees praying for me would flash through my mind at that moment, and it would remind me of who I am, and it would remind me of the heritage that I have, and it would help me to make the right choice. Times when I had a decision to make and an audio tape would start playing in my head of hearing my mother's half-whispered prayers late in the night. Be with Phil. Guide him. Bless him. Make him a godly man. And her influence followed me. It's been like a shadow in my life. You know, some mothers give their children every material thing they could ever want, thinking that that is going to make them happy, thinking that that is going to enhance their relationship and their bond with each other. But they never give them Jesus. Let me ask you, what good would it do for your child to grow up having every toy, every possession, the finest designer clothes, the best of everything, and live their entire life and go to hell? What good would that do? The Bible says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? I look at a lot of these young kids, really they are, on television from out in Hollywood. And you see these people, Paris Hilton and the rest, who have everything your heart could desire on this earth. Everything. All the money they could ever want to spend, the finest cars, the best apartments, the nicest clothes, access to all the exclusive places on this earth. And their parents have given them everything they could ever want except the thing that they need, and that's Jesus. And I think about those kids. I watch them growing up. You see them on the news, in and out of rehab, and all the mess. Why? Because the kids are still searching for something that they never got. They never got it. They have everything in this life, but they don't have the one thing they need. Moms, I want to tell you, you have a special inroad to your children, especially when they're young, to tell them about Jesus, and there's nothing more important that you can do. We see many examples of this in the Bible. One is when Paul wrote to young Timothy. In fact, turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's read a few verses from there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look at verse 5. Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, and he's giving him encouragement. And look at what he says to him, 2 Timothy 1:5. He says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Turn over a couple of chapters to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 14 and 15. Paul says to him, "But as for," well, he had just finished talking about all the wickedness that's in the world and all the bad things that are going on, and he says in verse 14, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Hey, you know, the Bible never names Timothy's dad. It only mentions him in one place, in Acts chapter 16. And it makes a very clear distinction between Timothy's mom and his dad. It says in Acts 16 that Timothy's mom was a believer. But, it says, his dad was a Greek. And now here, many years later, after that was written in Acts 16, when Paul first met young Timothy, Timothy is now becoming an emerging leader in the young church there. Paul writes back to Timothy and he says to him, "Tim, remember the things that you have learned, and remember who you learned them from, Timothy. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Let me ask you, if Timothy's dad was an unbeliever, where'd Timothy learn Scriptures from the time he was a little kid? From his mother. From his mother. And Paul takes the time years later in that letter to make reference to her and to remind Timothy of the heritage that he has. Mom, I want to tell you, out of all the things that you can do for your children, don't neglect their spiritual training. Don't leave it up to the church. Don't leave it up to the Sunday school teachers hoping they'll do it for you. You are the one who has an incredible open door into the life of your child to point them to Jesus. It's the greatest thing that you can do. I don't know if anybody has ever caught the last words of Mary in the Bible, the mother of Jesus. Very interesting. Words are really something that I love to study, because I love to kind of tear them apart and crawl in them and look around and see what they mean. And it's interesting to me how the Holy Spirit engineered the recording of the last words of the mother of Jesus. I mean, think about this. If you and I were fabricating a book that was going to become the Bible, we were cooking up this thing called Christianity, right? And we were writing a Bible, and we would not be able to avoid the tendency to put a heavy slant on the mother of Jesus and to put in some great sayings of hers throughout the course of her life, right up until her very last breath. We would probably fake some kind of verse in there about some great thing that the mother of Jesus said. You know, it's interesting the Bible doesn't do that. It's one of the proofs to me that the Bible really is the Word of God, because God shows people just as they are. The very last recorded words of the mother of Jesus took place very early in Jesus' life. As a matter of fact, it happened at a wedding in a place called Cana. You remember the story. They were having a wedding, and they ran out of wine, a major faux pas in that culture. You didn't do that. It was a huge embarrassment to the host and an insult to the guests. Jesus was at that wedding, the Bible tells us, and his mother was there. And when they ran out of wine, the servants broke into a panic, rushing around behind the scenes saying, "What are we going to do? We're out of wine. This is horrible. What are we going to do?" Now watch this. The servants ran up to Jesus' mother, frantic. "What are we going to do?" Mary turns to them. In John chapter 2, she says, "Whatever he says unto you, do it." That's the last time we ever hear Mary speak in the Bible. I think that's profound. I think it's profound. Now, we see Mary all through the life of Christ, but we never hear her speak again. The last recorded words in the Bible of the mother of Jesus. She's saying to us, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And then she says, "Now I'm just going to be quiet, and I want to leave you with that thought." She was pointing them to Jesus. That's what she was doing. And moms, you know what? Your greatest job in all of motherhood is to point your children to Jesus. Are your words pointing your children to Jesus, moms? Let me ask you more importantly, moms, is your life pointing your children to Jesus? Is your life? As you know, it doesn't so much matter what we say in the course of our life if we don't back it up with how we live. Our kids read us like a book. As a matter of fact, there were four preachers one day discussing their favorite version of the Bible. And I can just save you some pain and tell you, don't ever get involved in a discussion like that with preachers, because it can turn out to be a really ugly thing. Been there, done that, got the scars to prove it. But there were four preachers discussing their favorite version of the Bible, and one preacher said, "You know, my favorite is the King James because of its wonderful poetic English." Second preacher said, "Well, my favorite is the New American Standard because of its accuracy to the original Hebrew and Greek." And the third preacher said, "Well, my favorite translation is the NIV because it's accurate to the Hebrew and Greek, but it's also easy to read." And the fourth preacher paused for a moment and he said, "Well, I like my mother's translation best." And they said, "Your mother's translation? We didn't know your mother was working on a translation of the Bible." And he said, "Oh yes, she translated the Bible into everyday life. And it was the most beautiful and convincing translation I ever saw." That's powerful. Mothers, I want to tell you this morning, I don't have to tell you this, but I'll remind you, there will be times when being a mother will be overwhelming to you. You go, "Yeah, 30 minutes ago, I remember that." There will be times when you feel like you are a failure as a mother. There will be times when you feel like you are not equal to the task that has been set before you. But I want to tell you, as long as you are pointing your children to Jesus, you've achieved the highest goal of motherhood. You need to remember that. The Bible never calls you to be a perfect mother. That's some good relief, right? We can all relax today. But the Bible does call you to be a godly mother. The influence that you have on your children will literally outlive you. It will stay with them for a lifetime. But the influence that you have on them for Jesus will last an eternity. Make sure that you're investing in your children the things that will not only outlive you, but will outlive them in this life. There was a man I heard one time, probably in his early 50s, who was recalling the night that he was in the hospital, seated beside the bedside of his dying mother. And this man sharing this was had become a pastor, and he told this incredible story that I've never forgotten. He said, "I remember sitting there and holding her hand, and for some reason," he said, "he reached up to sort of her wrist and found her pulse. And he could feel it getting weaker and weaker, and he knew that her heart was failing and she was about to go. And he said he looked down as he was holding her hand. He looked down and saw that hand wrinkled from age. And as he held that hand, his mind went back to all that that hand had done for him. And he remembered the many times that those hands had reached out and snatched him up at the last second before he dashed out in front of a speeding car. He remembered all the times in the middle of the night that that hand had wiped his fevered brow and brought him comfort. He remembered all the times that those hands had put a Band-Aid on his scratched knee and elbow. All the times that those hands had wiped tears from his cheeks. All the times that those hands had clapped at his recitals and ball games. All the times those hands had patted him on the back and encouraged him. But he said in that moment, the Holy Spirit brought one more thing to his mind. As he looked at those wrinkled hands, he remembered all the times that those hands had folded in prayer on his behalf. And he knew that he was who he was because of the influence and the love of a godly mother. Moms, I know that your work is endless. It is exhausting. It is often thankless. But you are the one, moms, who will cast a unique influence over the life of your children that no one else can do. One of the hardest things I think about motherhood, about parenting in general, is that it demands enormous investment now. But we don't see the payoff usually for 15 or 20 years down the road. And you know, in a society of instant gratification, that's tremendously difficult. We are the microwave generation. We want to push a button and we want results in 60 seconds or less. And moms, I want to encourage you today to keep sowing seed into your children for Christ. You won't see results right away. In fact, you know what, moms? You may not see results in your lifetime. But you keep sowing the seeds into your children. Keep telling them about Jesus. Keep living a life in front of them, even with your failures, that demonstrates what a godly mother looks like. And I want to tell you that somewhere down the road, moms, whether you live to see this or not, Your children will do what Proverbs 31:28 says, they will arise and call you blessed. Is it tough? It's the toughest job in the world. There's nothing harder than being a mother. Nothing. Be faithful at the task that God has called you to. Galatians 6:9 says, do not become weary in doing good. For in due season, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. Moms, may God bless you as you invest your life into the life of your children and as you shape the godly men and women of tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, I find it something of great significance that when you were ready to send your son into the world, you chose to send him through a mother. That's extraordinary to me. And the value that you place on motherhood is very, very high. And Lord, the truth is, we live in a society today that has all but removed the value of motherhood. And I pray for every mom in this service today who feels the pressure of what our society has done and feels like what they are doing is of no value, or at least of very little value in comparison to all the other things that they could be doing. Winston Churchill said, if you want to change a nation, begin by enlisting the help of the mothers. And that's absolutely true. I pray, Father, you would help each of our moms today to realize that they are the shapers of the future. William Wallace was right when he said, the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. It's very true. Our mothers are the ones who truly shape the children. And Lord, I thank you that I can look out over this body of believers and I can see so many godly mothers who are investing themselves into the lives of their children tirelessly, lovingly, joyfully. I pray you'd give them long-range vision, Lord, to see beyond the moment, to see the value of their investment, and to know the rewards that are going to be reaped from that investment one day. We thank you, Lord, for your love. And thank you for the love of our mothers. I know that this day is a day of mixed emotions for a lot of people. A lot of different emotions in this room right now on Mother's Day. But Lord, I thank you for our mothers. Those of us with godly mothers, I thank you for the influence they've had on our lives. And those here who did not have godly mothers, Lord, I pray you'd help them to know that they can begin a new trend in their family and they can be godly mothers to their children. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen.